We're taking a look at how to deal with the battles of life. And they take place in our lives every day. From the battles that we struggle with physically, and all of us that are adding years onto our lives. I'm a little jealous. Ken comes in. We played with Ken. Was that last year? We had a chance? 2 years ago. Time flies, Ken. I missed you a lot. See, that's what happened. So Ken, we had a chance to play again. He moved to the Carolinas, and I said, are you still playing ball? He said, yeah, I play morning, evening, and travel team. This guy obviously is in better condition than I am, because when you get older, it takes longer to deal with all of those things. It's a battle. We have battles in relationships that we have with the people in our lives, some of them very close. And we might struggle with things in our minds, in our emotions, in our hearts, all of these battles. And while there are, I realize, some people that just want to get through each day, just survive, make it to my bedroom again. That's a good day if I get back to that point. You know, I think because of Jesus Christ, we need to change that thinking, to recognize, as Paul writes in Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors. That means you're not just a survivor, you're an overcomer because of Jesus Christ. And for that very reason, we can have victory in every battle of our lives, including the spiritual ones. Now, spiritual battles are those things, the church, we have to face those every day. And for the only reason, because Satan is always trying to get you to doubt who Jesus is in your life. And he wants you to doubt who you are because of Jesus. That's what Satan does. He sows doubt. And he's been doing it from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, he came up to Eve and said, did Jesus really say you can eat of all the trees in the garden? Did he really say that? He's got Jesus in the desert. He's tempting him. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, that's trying to sow doubt. It's an old game. I told you, Satan's not creative, but he is clever. And he knows the ways to get to us, to hit us in the places where we have weaknesses. Those are spiritual battles. But see, not only is he trying to bring doubt into your life, he also wants you to respond to those things the way that the world does, instead of the way that a child of God should respond. Because you see, as a child of God, when I have battles, I want to respond to those things in peace and in confidence, in maturity and self-control. See, those are the virtues that Paul writes about when he writes to the church and says, this is the way that you should be because of Jesus. You should be different than those that don't know him. Now notice, I didn't say you're supposed to be better, because it's not about pride. I know what I am capable of. I know the things that I have allowed to come into my heart and into my mind and into my spirit. I know who I am without Jesus, and I don't want to be that person. But if you know how to deal with those spiritual battles, if you know how to handle those things that are going to be coming at you, then you're demonstrating a difference in your life, and that's because of Jesus. So the first principle that we looked at, we're talking about principles of how you can win your spiritual battles. The first one last week we talked about is the preparation. See, we must always be mindful that God is present in all of these things. God, the Bible tells us, I prayed it, he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there. Now, he may not be there in the exact way that you want him to be there, because let's face it, most of us in our deepest, darkest moments would love God to be this big celestial vending machine. And I can pop a prayer in the coin slot, pull the handle, boom, I get what I want. How great would that be? Come on, don't be looking at me all pious-like, like, oh, I've never done that, Reverend. Don't call me Reverend. But see, that's not how God is. God doesn't just answer every question that we have in the way that we want him to. God always answers questions, always answers our prayers. But you know, sometimes those answers are no. Or, here's the big one, wait, not yet. Isn't that a great one? Don't you all love waiting? Yes, Reverend, we love to wait. I told you, don't call me Reverend. Pay attention. But see, God is always preparing you for the challenges. He's always preparing you. And just as he dealt with the army of Israel in Gideon's time, he's still dealing with us of the same issues. What do we say that God was doing with them? He said he was concerned about their pride and about their arrogance. He said, if I let the entire army of Israel go against the Midianites, if they win, they're going to say it was because of their own strength. That's arrogance. That's still a problem today. We're a little more crafty with it. We don't walk around telling people we're proud. But if you don't feel like that anybody can teach you anything, if you don't feel like church is of any real value, if you don't feel like that you need to change at all, you've got a pride thing going. See, because we need to be humble before him. It's the humility that puts us in the posture to receive all that it is that God wants us to have. God also was dealing with the spirit of fear. Remember that, 33,000 troops, and what did God say? Gideon, tell the boys, anybody is scared, go home. 27,000 took off. I'm afraid. Well, fear is very real. But how many of you know there's a difference between a fear that is of wisdom? I have some fear of walking out and standing on the middle of the turnpike. Why? Because I'll become a bug smear on a windshield. That's a healthy fear. That's different than the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is not of God, because the Bible tells us that perfect love drives out that fear. God is love. So the spirit of fear is not of God, and yet the people were consumed with it. How many of you today are working through some things and you're battling with fear? Because you don't know what's going to happen. God was dealing with that then. He's dealing with it now. And the third thing was the love of self. The love of self, which always asks the same question. What's best for me? What's in it for me? And those are the same things that God was dealing with then. He's still dealing with them in our hearts now. So that time preparation that God is always doing in our lives requires that we trust him through it all. Trust him. Because it's not by our strength, church, that we're going to have victories. I have bad news for some of you, or maybe some of you might be relieved. God does not need your experience. He does not need your talents. He doesn't need your intellect. He does not need your abilities. What he needs is a heart that's willing to surrender to him, to give up your will and ask him for his. You say, well, Pastor Dave, don't you think that's pretty basic? Isn't it pretty easy? Is it? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. How many times you found yourself in a situation and you can look back on it and go, okay, I see where the fork in the road was on that one, and I should have gone right, not left. Why'd I go left? Because that's what I wanted to do. And to grow as a Christian, to grow as a believer, means that when situations are going on in my life, I'm not looking for what's best for me. How do I get out of this? I go, God, what is it you want for me in this? How do I learn through this? What is it that you're trying to teach me? That's not an easy thing to do. And yet, if we are faithful in that, God is faithful in all of his ways as well. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote. And many of you are aware of this. Paul apparently had a physical issue that he was dealing with through the majority of his ministry. The Bible does not specify what it is. I think you can maybe get an idea of what it might be through some of his writings. But the point of that is, he wrote to the people at the church in Corinth, and he said, I continually ask God to remove this from me, and he doesn't. Now, there's a good lesson in that, isn't there? How many of you prayed for things that on the surface you would think, this is a slam dunk. God definitely wants this in my life. I prayed that many times. I just got done praying it not that long ago. I wanted my mother to be healed. I didn't want to lose my mom. God didn't answer the prayer in the way that I wanted him to, though. But the same thing that Paul learned through that is what I want each of us to learn, because God said to Paul, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. See, that's the lesson to learn. God may not remove the thing that you're walking in. He may not remove the battle, but he's going to give you the grace to be able to withstand, the grace to be able to walk through, the grace to be able to continue to be a blessing to other people, even though my life is in turmoil. So you want to know what a mature Christian is? I believe that's a hallmark of a mature Christian. Somebody that doesn't get blown up when things don't go just the way they want them to. Someone who still can be a blessing, still can be loving to the people around them, even when they're struggling. And I'll tell you what, men, and I feel like God just dropped this onto my heart. Men, you have that primary responsibility in your home as the priest of your home. Things may be tough at work. You may not feel good. Things may not be exactly the way you want them to be in all the different areas of your life, but you are still called to be the one that is the anchor for your home because of Jesus Christ, to be loving, to be kind, to watch your words. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, we didn't know we were going to be talking about something like that today. That's not nice. It may not be nice, but it's true. I have found myself in places many times. I had to sit down not long ago, just me and God. And I do this best in the early morning. I get up pretty early, go out, have coffee, try to get my brain to fire on all cylinders. It usually takes 2.5 cups. And then I read, and I read all kinds of different things. But I felt like that God was speaking to me the other week saying, listen, yeah, you're upset that you lost your mom. You've never had to deal with something of this intensity in your life before, but that does not mean that you change the way you act at home. You still have a treasure that I've given you that you need to be loving and patient and kind. It's not an excuse. Just because you're having a tough time does not mean that you get to just act any way you want to. You see, that's what it means to trust him, because his grace is sufficient for what I need. I believe there may be some of you here that need to hear that, that you've been struggling a little bit with some things and your attitudes towards other people. And I know I was talking to the guys, but that's for anybody. Whatever your circumstances are, if they're difficult, don't take them out on the people around you. Don't demonstrate a way that the world does. Because let's face it, without Jesus, how would you be acting in those kinds of times? Or maybe you already remember how you used to act before Jesus came into your life. And see, God's always preparing us for these things. He's always present with us. This morning, I almost got off topic there, didn't I? I'm back on the on-ramp, Sharon. I know where I am now. I got back. Sometimes God does his best stuff through me when I don't even plan to say it. Today I want to talk a little bit, and just for a few minutes, about strategies. The strategies, the first part of what we're looking at, your principles for overcoming, for being victorious in those times, is that God is always preparing you. The second thing is God has strategies for you as well. If you have your Bibles, and when you come to church, bring your Bible. Turn to the book of Judges. 7th chapter. I'm just going to read a couple verses. Bring your Bible to church. If you don't have one, tell me. I'll get you one. It'll be a nice one, too. Might even have the gold stuff on the side, if you're nice to me. All right. Judges 7. We'll start in the 9th verse. I'm just going to read down to 15. It says, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon. Now, what are we talking about? Gideon has got his army, and they're coming against the Midianites, and there's 130,000 of them. There are only 33,000 troops that were with the Israelite army. Now they're down to 300. Go back and read that story or listen to last week if you don't know that story. So during that night, and this is after, now we're down to 300, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. Now, the camp he's talking about is the enemy camp. He said, go on down to that enemy camp, because I'm going to give them to you. He said, if you are afraid to attack, go down to that camp with your servant, Parah, and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Parah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Now this begins, strangely enough, with how we think God sees us. That's kind of a strange sentence, I know. How does God see you? How do you think that he sees you? I got an example of how I think that works. The first time you ever played hide and seek with your kid or your grandchild, it's probably a pretty funny thing. Because once they understand what they're supposed to do, that they're supposed to go hide and you're going to come find them, many times what the kid will do is he'll run over a little bit to a side of the room and stand there and put his hands over his eyes. Because he's thinking, if I can't see him, he can't see me. Well, you know what? A lot of Christians get that into their spirit about their relationship with God. And many times what we do is that we think, well, you know what? Before I go to God, I'm going to get myself straightened out. So if he can't see me in this way, then it'll be different. See, we're so concerned about how God sees us that we project that thinking on him. We think that because we don't want God to see us the way that we are right now, how we truly are, I'm going to fix all of this, and I'll stay away from God until I got myself the way that I want me. But you see, what was obvious, at least even in what we read right here, God knew what Gideon was dealing with. He saw Gideon very clearly. Just as you very clearly can see your kid standing over there by the curtains with his hands over his eyes. God knew what Gideon needed. God saw Gideon for who he was. Don't you remember when the angel came to Gideon the first time, what did he say to him? He said, hail, what'd he call him, remember? Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior, Gideon. Gideon's going, whoa, 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 wrong tent. You got the wrong place. I'm not the mighty warrior. I come from the smallest tribe. I come from the smallest family, and I'm the least of all of my own family. He said, no, mighty warrior. And God came to him and spoke to Gideon, not because of who he was, but because of how God actually saw him. Do you know God sees you differently than you see yourself this morning? You may see yourself as a product of all of the things of your past, all the things I've done, maybe all the things I'm even still sort of involved in, I just can't seem to shake, I just can't seem to break it. That's not how God sees you. God sees you as his child. God sees you as one that was so valuable and so important that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die just for you, just for you. And see, Gideon was still afraid. God saw that. He's still afraid. But God in his mercy responded to Gideon in such a loving way. But there was something important about what was happening that we also have to understand. And that is, if God had not changed that situation for Gideon, Gideon would have been going into that battle filled with doubt. And my friends, doubt is what crushes faith. If you allow doubt to sow itself into your mind and into your heart, it's going to take away the faith and the strength that that brings. And so our question real quick, and I promise you I'm going to start to wrap this up, is that God's going to take us on a journey from fear to faith if we ask him, if we surrender our lives to him. How does he do that? Here's the first thing. God renews his promises to us. See, the Bible is filled with promises, church. We should be so encouraged in our lives We should be so excited about the opportunities that God gives each and every one of us. Now, you might be sitting there going, whoa. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I got some things here that I'm not too excited about. I get that. I understand. Remember, we said God does not just blow all of our problems away, but he's always with us. He's always teaching us. He's always giving us what it is that we need, and he's always renewing his promises to us. God began taking Gideon on his journey from fear to faith by Gideon hearing from God. He heard from God. And see, this is what we read in the scripture, that it's through his word that we hear his voice. Paul writes in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Now, your question may be, how come that's so specific? Well, how many voices are out there trying to tell you what to do and how you should live? That's why I'm always encouraging you, be cautious. Just because somebody's on a podcast, God help us, just because somebody wrote a book, just because somebody's on TV or on the radio or online, does not mean that that's a voice you should be listening to. You say, well, Pastor Dave, how in the world do I know? By God's word. God's word is the final, ultimate authority in our lives. And everything that we hear, including what you hear from me each Sunday, must be proven by the word of God. Otherwise, that's not something you want in your life. And see, when we are allowing God to move us from that place of fear to faith, he's going to renew those promises to us. Because his word is filled with commands, and when followed, those commands bring the promises that he gives to life. That's the way that that works. Look at it with Gideon. This is in the 9th verse that I just read. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. He said, get up and go down against the camp. That was a command. Now, Gideon had a choice, did he not? Gideon didn't have to do that. He could have gone, you know, I'm good. I'm in the tent here. I got all the boys around me. I'm nice and comfortable in my sleeping bag. Did they have sleeping bags, Tommy, back then? Probably not. I'm happy here. I got a nice, comfortable rock underneath of me. I'm good. Let's just see what happens tomorrow. No, that's not what he did. He was obedient. He did get up. He did go down to the camp, snuck down, because the second part of that was the promise that God gave. I'm going to give them into your hands. That was the promise. But the promise would only come if Gideon was willing to be obedient to the command. Folks, that's a principle today that's still in place. That's the principle, obedience and the promises. You say, well, wait a minute, does that mean that God only does things if I jump through his hoops and do the things that he wants me to do? That's the world's way of looking at it. Because you see, as a Christian, my way of looking at it is, I've surrendered my life to him. I am his servant. What does he want from me? What does he want me to do? Because that's the only place that I want to be. I was praying for you folks this week, praying for our church service, and I keep praying over and over, God, whatever you want, whatever you want. Bring people this Sunday that you want there. That's why I said that earlier, because I know you're here because God appointed you, because I asked him to. I said, God, I only want the people you want there with us on Sunday. You bring the ones that need to be here. You bring the ones that need to hear your word, that need to be loved, that need to be cared for. You bring. I had a guy, I was having coffee with my dad on Friday down in Hunt Valley and at a Panera. And so we're sitting there talking. Now, my dad has double cochlear implants, you know, the things that go on the top of his. Some of you are familiar with that. So Dad talks a little louder, and the one wasn't working. I didn't know that, honey, when I got there. Yeah, my head hurt from my own voice as we were talking. But we got done. We were there for a couple of hours talking, and this guy had been sitting behind us the whole time. He had the table all laid out with papers and graphs and charts. I mean, he was going at it, making millions, I guess. But he was leaving, and he came up, and he stopped, and he said, hey, he said, I was eavesdropping on your conversation. And the first thing I wanted to go, say what? I'm sorry? What are you doing? He said, yeah. He said, I like coming here. He said, I can listen to everybody's conversation. I thought, wow, okay. But he said, I heard you talking about church and about God. And he said, I want you to know, I was real encouraged by some of the things that you were talking about. My dad was in ministry for over 70 years. And so, yeah, we're talking about the things of the Lord. But he said, so where's your church? I said, we're in New Cumberland. I said, it's outside of Harrisburg, about an hour north of here. He said, if I were closer, I'd come to your church. And I thought, you know, Lord, I've told you this before. If every person came to church that said they were going to come, we'd have 14,000 people in this room. We'd have a room full. But see, again, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we're surrendered to Him and that we want to do what it is that He desires for us. It starts with preparation, and then there are strategies. That's the only one I'm going to give you this morning. We're going to do the next two next week. But there are two more strategies that I want you to know, and then when I'm done with that, we're going to talk about how do you execute those things so that you're living in the things of God in the midst of the battles. My friends, if you're walking in a battle right now, can I just pray a word of encouragement over you? God knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with, and He's going to give you, just like He did with Gideon, He's going to give you everything you need for that moment. I'm not saying He's going to give you everything for the entirety of it, because our faith still needs to continue to grow. He's going to give you what you need today, and then He's going to give you what you need for tomorrow, and then the next day, and He's going to do it one day at a time. But don't be discouraged. Do not allow the lies of the enemy to come into your mind and into your heart, because God's faithful in all these things. Amen? Let's pray together. Well, Father, I do thank You for this time together, and I pray, God, that the words spoken today would be an encouragement to each and every one of us. You will provide in these difficult times. Just like with Gideon. Gideon was afraid. He was afraid when he had 33,000 troops. He was so afraid he needed You to confirm it for him twice. And then, God, You took him down to 300. And Father, in that fear that he had, You loved him and You cared for him. So Father, I pray that for each of us here, whatever our battle is in this moment, we will not be afraid. We will not accept a spirit of fear. We will not be discouraged. I pray that over each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. Pray for those that are watching online. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we will be emboldened by the presence of Almighty God in our lives. Father, it's not my will. It's not my strength. It's not my abilities. I am wholly and completely dependent on You. And I thank You, Father, that You're faithful. Bless each and every one of us here, Father. I pray as we go about our week, as we go into this election time, Father, I pray that we will again do so filled with the confidence that no matter what it is, that the result is of all of these things here, You are on the throne and You love us and You care for us. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen.